Rosemary and Power and Mark and Austin. If you'll be looking on nuclear power, if nuclear power is not the answer, then what is for future generations? But they're going to rely on it, and need to have some other power source to serve their needs for the future. What is the alternative?
I think nuclear power is the answer to the wrong question. I know this sounds amusing, and I'll try and explain what I mean. Which is, it's answering how we want our energy to be generated, rather than answering the question of how much energy do we actually need. I don't need a nuclear power station to generate the electricity to make hydrogen for me to put in my car, fuel cell, and drive to the supermarket and back. I need a world where supermarkets don't exist, actually, and where I'm doing my shopping at farmers markets and then local shops from the local community, but then help support the local economy, which all uses a lot less carbon. And also, it moves towards some of the other things which we all consider probably to be quite positive. And so if you're envisioning what the low carbon world would look like, as I say, it's a world without Tesco's, it's a world where people talk to each other, it's a world where obesity and heart disease rates are going down again rather than because people are cycling and walking more. It's a world where you're not pouring half a bead that goes into your house up through the walls and up and through the roof because it's not properly insulated. All of these things are steps in the right direction, they're not sacrifices. And all of them mean actually that we change our lifestyles in ways which are positive. We don't need the nuclear power stations, we don't need all that extra energy. And so I think actually, a combination of renewables and energy efficiency would do the trick. I actually don't personally find nuclear power terribly scary if any of our members do. I would be quite happy to accept it if I did believe it was a solution to global warming. Actually, I think it's obviously a very divisive one, so it's not one we're going to be able to agree on. It's even more divisive than wind turbines, which I thought were a no-brainer. And so it's pretty obvious to me that we need to find a different way through it. Nuclear is also very expensive. You know, we seem to be based on a £70 billion bill for cleaning up the last generation of Magnox nuclear reactors. We've still got no idea what to do with waste. And the doom rate, it keeps exploding as bits of radioactive particles all over the beach. I mean, that isn't a very good way to run a nuclear power program. And we've got to look at things in terms of how much carbon bang you get for your buck. And nuclear is probably the most expensive way to reduce carbon.
Yeah. So, what you're allocating is we go back 100 years into small communities where we're self-sustaining within small groups. Isn't that what you're allocating?
No, it's just that we go forward 50 years into smaller communities.
How many people are going to be willing to do that? I mean, you know, that is quite a radical change. And again, it comes down to the willingness of each individual to take part in that. And, tonight this debate wouldn't be held because you wouldn't have these big debates in these big halls because everyone would be in their little community and not travelling.
Yes, I mean, this is a very complicated sociological debate, really. I mean, where do people get their desires from? I mean, by the time you were 15 years old, you probably sat through 100,000 hours of television advertising telling you you want a car because it's going to give you status and it's going to make your life more worthwhile than meaningful. And people are getting all of these psychological messages enforced to them from very powerful corporate interests, which have no interest at all in actually solving your climate change problem. And so we're going to have to re-engineer society in all sorts of ways, and I don't mean that in a big brother thing at all, which is why I was trying to say that actually it's positive. I thought the breakdown in the community was meant to be a bad thing, and move towards a society where we talk to each other more, and you know your neighbours, and you're more mutually supporting within communities was a good thing. If you disagree, then that's your choice. But I think most public opinion would be that the move towards more sustainable communities would be a move in the right direction.
Well, let's just see, who would be willing to go back into smaller communities? Let's travel. If people would want to do that, really hasn't been hard. That's a good point. Actually, Julie's suggesting that how would you earn your money? How would you develop a local economy? How would you ask for barter in the future? What would you eat? I mean, going back to growing your own food. Where would jobs go? Would industry collapse? It is a difficult subject, isn't it?
I don't have a crystal ball and I don't know how these things will play out, but I grow most of my own food for the family on an allotment at the moment, I enjoy doing that. Many people don't enjoy doing that, but actually that's cost nothing in carbon. That's totally zero carbon energy in yourself. And that's not contributing to economic growth either. The economy, in the conventional way of looking at it, in terms of GDP, is much happier if I shop in Tesco's and I don't talk to the person on the creating table, and there's no community relationship there whatsoever. The economy's much happier to have it than if I'm growing my own veg and I'm chatting with everyone who's got their allotments too. So actually quality of life and GDP and economy, as we can literally talk about them, are very different. And I think we've got to recognise that.
Well, the girls are out of the as well as this. Well, and then people around the constituents and all these small groups, and they've gone back and haven't here, but they've gone forward 50 years.
We're not describing it.
And everybody wants to be more sustainable.
So, talking to my friend,
sorry, yes. I mean, when Mark describes it, is it today? And he's right, everybody wants to see that kind of sustainable community. But actually, it's not quite that simple. You know, small, cloistered communities can also be very claustrophobic if people don't fit in. And actually, many people want to escape to much larger, much more anonymous cities where they can lead their own very particular lifestyles. And, you know, what I am really interested in is that I, or Mark, or anyone else, should prescribe to people how they should live like this. We have to have, of course we have to have sustainable communities. A lot of what he says about supermarkets I absolutely agree with. We've got to have local produce. One of the things I'm trying to do in the House of Commons, I've got some leading chefs about campaigns to try to reduce food miles, so you know, you buy local food. You know, I understand Julia's point about East Africa, but actually what we should be doing is helping that farmer sustainably with more aid so that it actually doesn't have to depend on, you know, sending the value of life to London. I mean, of course all this is right, but we've got to be incredibly careful. This is a huge, massive challenge. And that really does, the biggest challenge we face, we must be really careful when we do it democratically. But we do not say, this is such a big challenge, we will wipe out all the political advances, and by political advances, I mean democratic advances, where we move the society as far as possible consensually, particularly when these issues are so important. And that's what I beg everybody in the society.